Well, one of our favorite guests back with us, Lon Strickler, of course. He is an expert on creatures. His website, phantomsandmonsters.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com if you want to get a head start on some of the things we're going to talk about. And we will be back in a moment talking about strange sightings on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Lon Strickler with us. Lon is a Fortean researcher, author, publisher of the syndicated Phantoms and Monsters blog. He began that blog back in 2005, 14 years ago, which is read daily by tens of thousands of paranormal enthusiasts, investigators, and those looking for answers and the truth. He hosts Arcane Radio, which is a weekly show and podcast. Lon, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, George. Thanks for having me.
Me too. Looking forward to this. These creature stories are just unbelievable. They're everywhere, aren't they?
Well, it's been busy. I can tell you that.
And what's going on in Chicago with these sightings of these winged humanoids? What the heck are these things?
Well, as you probably know, we started getting reports around April 2017. Now, there had been previous reports in 2011. But in 2017, it just started to go crazy. I mean, it was some of the first sightings were being reported to MUFON. We picked up on some of those. Then we started receiving calls from witnesses. I'd say by mid-October, we had over 50 sightings reported in and around the Chicago metro area. And since then, we have been receiving a few reports within Chicago, but it has expanded out into southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and down into central Indiana. So at this point, we have about 85 sightings that we feel confident are real.
Lon, what are people describing? Kind of paint us a picture of these things.
Well, the overall description is a dark being that is, you know, the body is about 5 to 6 foot in height, thin, with a small thin head, and does have legs, and has wings with a wingspan anywhere from 10 to 15 foot. And the wings, for the most part, are shaped like that of a bat or a gargoyle. Now, there have been some differences in the arms being attached to the wings or detached from the wings.
Mm-hmm.
We received different reports. But the body itself is always dark in color. Sometimes it's brownish, but most times it's black, as well as being like a shiny, wet look to it.
How big is it?
Like I said, it's about 5 to 6 foot in height in the body, and the wingspan can go as far as 15 foot.
Gosh, that's huge.
Yeah, it's big.
It is huge. But have these creatures ever been seen roaming the streets or anything like that, jumping buildings?
Oh yeah, we have several reports inside downtown, Chicago, along the waterfront for the most part, and you know it's been in several different neighborhoods of the city as well.
Have they ever been seen grabbing a dog, a cat, an animal, or a person, or anything like that, Lon?
We have not received any reports of missing animals or actually grabbing anything or anybody. They don't tend to seem to be aggressive, though they're scaring the hell out of some people.
I bet. Do they look more devilish as opposed to bird-like?
The head itself is kind of like a, I don't know how you would describe it. I would say it like a head that's sort like a gray alien, but it's different. Some have the red eyes. Other times it doesn't have the red eyes. The head is usually thin and somewhat small as compared to the size of the body. The body is usually always emaciated looking.
And again, it's not always seen in the sky. It's all over the place.
Yeah, most of the sightings are at night. There have been some daytime sightings, and there have been some sightings to where people have walked up onto this thing as it's standing.
Jeez. And what does it do? Does it attack or take off?
It normally will stand there and observe the witness for several seconds and suddenly jettison into the air without using its wings, almost like a rocket going off.
What does your gut tell you, Lon? You've investigated many creature stories in your career. What do you think's going on here?
Well, you know, some people may not agree with what I'm going to say, but I believe it's an interdimensional being. I believe it's flesh and blood, but I believe it's also coming through some type of portal from another reality. We have two witnesses now. And the witnesses were a pair of elderly ladies where it took place near Wrigley Field. And another sighting was in Rockford, Illinois, several years ago by a woman, her husband, and her friend. And in both cases, the being was flying, and it suddenly disappeared like it went through an invisible doorway.
Could they be demonic?
I guess they could be, but the characteristics so far don't tend to make me feel that they're demonic or malevolent or anyway.
Lon, what's the state of mind of the people who report seeing these creatures? I mean, are they like in shock, or are they pretty stable when they give the reports?
They, you know, I have received reports, you know, from people that had seen it within the half hour or so. They're usually pretty shook up because they're looking for answers. They have no idea of what this thing is, and for the most part, they haven't heard of any of the sightings. And they will tell me in some instances that they have a sense of foreboding, but I think it's almost like a shock factor for the most part. You know, people ask us, well, why don't they, you know, they've got a phone. Why don't they get a picture of it? Well, you know, that's easier said than done. These things are pretty, you know, these are fleeting sightings.
Right.
And when you see something like that, there's got to be a shock value to it. And, you know, by the time you get your phone out and, you know, focus in on it, you know.
It's gone.
You're not going to take a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it more animal than human, in your opinion?
I believe it's more, you know, characteristic-wise animal, more so than human, though, you know, it does have the humanoid look to it.
So what if they're coming through this portal, as you said, and it's more animalistic than human? Does it seem to possess any kind of intelligence, or does it act like an animal?
Some of the reports have it actually looking into windows like it was observing people. It does realize, in fact, I know of one sighting where this thing actually flew over an elderly couple. It looked back at them as it was flying over top of them and turned around and came back towards them. So it does recognize that people are seeing it. It's not shy. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem shy at all, but it just doesn't hang around a long time.
The people who report seeing it, do you think everyone's reporting one creature or everybody's reporting lots of creatures all over the place?
Well, I think for the most part these creatures are similar, but I believe personally that there were at least three of these beings been sighted in 2017.
So three of them generating all the reports.
At least that.
And now, do the sightings continue?
Yes, they do. We are getting sightings in northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. We have had sightings reported in specific areas in central Indiana. And certain areas of Wisconsin and Illinois, well, in particular, like Woodstock, Illinois, we've had three sightings of a being, though it wasn't seen flying. It was actually described like that of a Bigfoot with huge wings.
With these huge wings. That must make a sound when they start to swoop away. I mean,
guess so. They haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it flying yet.
Interesting. Now, what about the feet? Are they like feet with toes or feet with bird talons? What are they?
We did get some prints from one of the early sighting in Woodstock, Illinois, and it was in the snow. And the print itself looked at least 15 foot in length, and maybe about 5 to 7 inches in width. And it did look like it had a few toes on it, but it was indistinguishable.
How do we bust this story wide open, Lon? What will it take?
Oh, I don't know. I guess possibly we get some type of physical evidence, a very good photograph of it. That's what we're hoping for.
It's remarkable. It really is. Now, you've been looking at other cryptid stories, upright canines. What's going on in that arena?
Well, we've been getting my partner, Butch Witkowski, and I have been looking into the phenomena, the upright canine phenomena in Pennsylvania now for about 4 years. And we continue to get reports and directly from witnesses, and we do get reports from other investigators as well. I'm actually involved in some upright canine sightings in central Alabama around the Birmingham area, and I've gotten at least 3 reports, very, very good reports. So I've got an investigator down there working on them.
Give us one of the reports, Lon, if you can. Kind of describe to us what they say.
Well, it's the one report in Alabama I think is very interesting. This man, his wife, and mother-in-law were in an Escalade, a large Escalade truck. He was in the back seat. His wife was driving. His mother-in-law was sitting in the front seat. As they were driving on the road, now it was dusk, but you could still see very well. They saw these two bright lights in front of them, and as they got closer, they saw what he said looked like a wolf crouched down on all fours, but looking directly at them. And he said the shoulders of this being were level with the side mirror of the Escalade.
Jeez.
So this thing, we estimate, had to be at least 9 to 10 foot in height. But they drove by it, and it just turned and kept an eye on him in the back seat, and it had real bright yellow eyes. And this is actually fairly similar to some of the sightings we're getting as well. We had one near Jasper, Alabama, recently, and now I'm getting some reports in an area around Graysville, Tyree area of just northwest of Birmingham. So there have been some very interesting sightings that we're looking into.
Are these canines, Lon, more wolf-like than dog-like?
Oh, yeah. They overall, the head looks like that of a wolf. It's dark in color, even has dark skin, maybe black skin. It's got sparse hair all over the body. The legs are usually hocked like that of a regular dog, but they do have the ability to walk very well with it. So they are bipedal. The sizes run anywhere from 8 to 10 foot.
Jeez, huge.
And I tell people who ask me what it looks like, I said, if you remember the lichens in the Underworld movie, that's what you got.
I would guess these creatures would attack. What do you think?
I think they would if they were provoked. We have had some sightings in Pennsylvania where actually hunters have actually walked up on these things. And, they would stand its ground, watch you. But, when you're standing or looking at a 9 to 10 foot upright canine, even if you've got a shotgun with you,
yeah,
you're not going to take a shot at it.
Not going to walk that dog outside, that's for sure.
You're slowly backing away from it. But I tell you, we have talked directly to these witnesses, and, you know, I cannot find any way of disputing what they're telling us.
And I assume they're very hairy creatures.
What's that?
Are they very hairy type creatures, like a dog would be or a wolf?
They body wise, they have sparse hair. It seems like they have like a mane that runs from the top of the head down the back. That's the thickest hair that's on the body.
They have a tail?
Yes.
Okay. So it really is more animal looking.
Yes. It's just got the humanoid body style.
Where do you think the origin might be for this thing?
I have no idea. I'll be honest with you, the more and more I look into cryptids, Bigfoot, upright canines, winged humanoids, the interdimensional theory.
That's really popping up.
Is the explanation somehow.
Somehow, maybe through like a multiverse, and somehow they're just creeping through.
Yeah, something is giving them the ability to do that, or they just have the ability to do that. But, all these years we've never found a Bigfoot body. We've never found a body of a Mothman creature or anything. And it makes you wonder why we're not doing that. And even though an interdimensional theory is a good excuse, I guess, but, man, I tell you, it's looking more and more like that may be the reason why.
Have there been any reports, Lon, of craft, spaceships being seen near these winged humanoids or these upright canines?
That's something we've been looking into. Now, you know, the one thing about Chicago, which interests me when we started getting these reports, Chicago's well known for UFO activity. But the UFO activity during the period of these sightings, in particular in 2017, seemed to wane off a bit. We didn't get any UFO sightings associated with the actual sightings of these beings. Now, we have, and particularly in Pennsylvania, we have had UFO activity and orb activity associated with Bigfoot sightings. But as far as the upright canines, I can't say that we really have had any.
Well, that's interesting. So I wonder if these creatures might be relegated. I mean, we know the theory of the, you know, coming through a warp or some kind of dimension. But what if they were earthbound all the time? They were just creatures that we, you know, never knew about before. Have there been reports of upright canines or these winged humanoids way back during the days of antiquity?
Well, yes, there have been. I mean, you know, the reports are kind of sparse. You know, I don't know if they really knew what they were looking at and kind of used something else to compare it to. The First Nations people, Native Americans in their culture have had, you know, sightings of these things. It's in their culture. I guess they considered for the most part that they were spirits. But there is mention of these beings.
That's just dramatic. Well, Lon, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk about your upcoming book, Alien Disclosure, Experiencers Expose Reality. And then you can tell all of us how we can listen to your regular podcast. Our special guest, Lon Strickler, we're going to be back in a moment to talk about his upcoming book, Alien Disclosure, and what's going on in that arena when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Lon Strickler with us. Lon, how can people hear your Arcane Radio podcast?
Well, they can go to, it's almost everywhere, but they can go to YouTube or they go directly to the website, which is arcaneradio.podbean.com.
Okay, super. We'll talk about that again before you're off the air with us. You've got a new book coming out, Alien Disclosure. Tell us about that.
Well, the book is out. It came out this weekend.
Perfect.
It's a collection. Actually, this is a book I've been wanting to do for a while. But it's a collection of first-hand accounts that have come to me or through my associates. And it has to do with all types of alien encounters and abductions. I explain a few of my personal encounters, and I think it gives a big insight, a better insight as to what people are dealing with and what the extraterrestrial phenomena really is.
We lost Stanton Friedman a couple days ago, Lon.
Yeah.
What a sad thing. I was with him in Columbus, Ohio at our live show, and he looked fine. He was happy, jovial, and I think had a massive heart attack at the Toronto airport and just keeled over, and he died on the spot. Sad story. But what a great UFO investigator, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, he kind of picked up where Hynek left off and just took the ball from there.
Yep.
And ran with it. And, you know, his theories and comments about extraterrestrials over the years, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. It was something that really got me looking more deep into it. At least I didn't feel like I was nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
I felt more sane about the phenomena.
You have looked at alien abductions with this new work as well. What do you think is happening there? Because we have so many different theories on what's going on. What do you think?
Well, I think there is a human-alien connection somehow. I really do. You know, since around 2008, it's become increasingly apparent to me that, you know, we're not alone. And but it's also become apparent that the Earth and overall humanity has attracted the attention of these non-terrestrials or extraterrestrials over many millennia. And I think we do have a direct connection, and I think we're kind of the, you know, we're kind of their insurance policy. We're there for them, and, you know, people talk about the missing link in the development of humans. I think they are the, I think they are the linchpin. I think they are the reason why we are, you know, humanity has expanded to the degree it has. And I think they do have an agenda, and the agenda is for a biological and technological singularity.
There's no doubt about that. And I think the more we investigate it, the more we're going to find out things that are going on. I'm not sure every alien abductee, a human abductee by aliens, is returned. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm quite sure that many of them have not been returned.
Oh, gosh. They just keep them.
Well, I have been working with a gentleman by the name of David Eckhart for over a decade now. He and his family had experienced alien abductions, alien encounters in their home for a long period of time. And he was actually taken at some points to areas underground and underwater on the Earth. Now, these locations, he was showing a lot of different things that, you know, it's hard to talk about, but there were humans and other non-terrestrials, other aliens, being used as laborers or slaves. And he also saw instances where humans were being experimented on and literally disposed of. And he saw this.
God. And wonder if it's like the old Twilight Zone to serve man. I wonder if they're eating humans.
Now, he didn't observe that. I don't know if that is the case, but he has confirmed to me that some species are flesh eaters. So I don't know if they eat humans or not, but they have no problem eating flesh of their own race.
Is there a specific type of ET race, Lon, that keeps humans as opposed to bringing them back?
Well, in his case, there were several types of alien beings involved. Of course, we had the small grays and the tall grays, as well as what looked like, or he's pretty sure, are human hybrids of some type.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to work together. But the overseers are usually reptilian-type beings. And this underground area that he has seen was a vast underground, vast cavern where they were using the slaves and these reptilians were the overseers. And actually, there were reptilian families living in habitating the area as well. But there was, it seemed to be like a, he said, a type of mining type of situation where they were where the people and these other aliens were actually digging.
The humans that are returned, what did they say what about the experience?
You know, for the most part, it's something that they don't actually know what happened at first, but over years, they start picking up more and more, start realizing that something had happened. Of course, we've had, you know, people have talked about all kinds of different things. You know, to go, you know, actually, in the past decade, there seems to be more diversity when it comes to alien contact. The progression of advanced intelligence and technology, it just seems to be more evident now to the experiencers of the abductees. Their descriptions seem to be a bit more complex and esoteric, and there's more descriptions of like cloaking or portals and physical transformation and other extraordinary activities. You know, back in the 40s and the 90s, the abduction scenario usually was followed a similar process. I mean, according to the experiencers, most times these alien captors originated from a craft or a UFO of some type. After securing their human subject, they would return back to the craft. You know, of course, then you go through where the subject was rendered immobile by some means. And the captors would conduct a series of tests and scans and such, collecting body fluids, sometimes human male sperm and female embryos. But after the examination, they'd usually be taken through some type of indoctrination where mm-hmm. they'd be shown all kinds of images of future life on the Earth. And it was usually a gloom and doom scenario. And but in some cases, they'd give them a glimmer of hope that was, you know, that right. would be introduced to the abductee. You know, basically, you know, if the humans start living right, stop fighting and such, things will be okay. But I started hearing back in the late 90s and 2000s. Suggestions of human-alien hybrids and integration being presented to the abductees. It seemed like more and more female abductees were coming forward and talking about lost pregnancies after the first trimester.
It's like they take the baby.
Yeah. And as well, male abductees were describing situations where they would actually meet a hybrid child during an abduction. And it was obvious to them as one of their offspring.
Wow. You know,
the types of non-terrestrial races involved in these type of instances where it was also evolving. You know, rarely were the abductions only carried out by grays and human-like hybrids. In recent years, we've interviewed many abductees who describe upwards of 4 to 5 different types of beings carrying out various functions during the abduction event. So, you know, what could be the reason by, you know, for these noticeable revisions of alien abductions? I don't know.
Do these...
Some type of redesign or whatever.
Lon, do the ETs ever show or demonstrate any kind of compassion for the human?
Very rarely. You know, David has told me that when he was given these type of tours, and that's what he called them in these facilities, there was a particular reptilian that took him wherever he wanted, whatever he wanted to show him. He basically told David that, you know, I do what I'm told to do. I don't particularly like humans. I don't particularly like you. He told him point blank. And I don't think there is much much as they like about humans, I think they just follow directions and do what they're told.
Do you think the alien grays are biological or simply robotic?
I think they're biologically engineered somehow. I think they are actually a working species. I think they do have a lot of intelligence and a lot of abilities, but I think they're used more so for tasks.
Any cases that you have heard of, Lon, where these ETs will cure somebody of a disease?
Happened to David. David had crippling rheumatoid arthritis, and after a series of encounters he had at home, and they did this at his home.
Huh.
They performed some type of surgery over a period of 6 days, and he is completely healed of rheumatoid arthritis. And that's not the only instance I've heard. There was a woman in Puerto Rico, and I mentioned in the book, who was cured of cancer. So it has been documented.
So there is a little compassion there on some of them.
Yeah, and for what reason, whatever reason they do it, I don't know. It's always done by grays. Now, I don't know why it's done. There's no explanation as to why it's done. But it does seem that certain individuals are picked out to have this done to them.
Have you ever figured out the alien implant situation yet and why they do that?
You know, that is a very bizarre aspect.
It sure is.
To the alien abduction scenario. There are various type of implants. You know, I've talked to people who say they have these implants that actually move to different parts of the body. You know, when an implant is removed, a lot of times it's removed by the abductee. They go in there digging around to get it out of there. And it just looks like a speck of metal for the most part. They have no way of knowing what it's there, why it was there. And but it does seem to have some type of characteristics, especially some type of magnetic or other type of characteristic that a normal piece of metal wouldn't have.
Are these ETs, Lon, coming through these other portals or dimensions in craft?
I think they do have the ability to do that. I think most of the UFO activity that we see do come through portals of some type, come through wormholes. I don't believe that this is interstellar type travel. I think it's all between planet to planet through space. I think they do travel through portals, and I also believe that individual beings can do the same thing.
What if the UFOs create these portals?
I guess it's very possible.
Now, in terms of the abduction phenomena, and like you say, they've in some cases they've helped cure people of disease and things like that. Do you have any cases where the human being was given a disease by the ETs?
Not that I know of. You know, there have been a lot of rumors over the years about the so-called Morgellons disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, I
that could be biological.
Right. Other than that, I don't have any examples of anything like that.
Now, if they're not returning all the abductees.
Yeah.
Which is a scary possibility. What do you think they're actually keeping them for?
From what I have been told by David and one other person I had talked to years and years ago, they do seem to have some type of surgical procedures where they remove certain parts of the body, then just literally dispose them. And what David saw and described as a huge cylinder that would actually, they'd throw the body in from the top, and these pipes would come out of the side, suck all the, seemed like the moisture out of the body, and then it would drop into an area where it would be incinerated.
Lon, you ought to be commended on the work you've done over the years in this field, because it is truly remarkable. And what do you think will be the big breakthrough for you, a researcher, investigator, that really just says, you know what, I told you folks, I was right all along. When do you think that's going to happen?
I don't know. You know, everybody talks about disclosure, government disclosure. I think the best we can do at this point right now is to listen to the experiencers, because they're giving us the firsthand knowledge of what's going on, and to just not ignore them and to take what they say to heart and document it.
Lon, when we come back, we will take phone calls with you in our final hour. Up next on Coast to Coast AM, Lon Strickler, our special guest.